Hey, it's Scott Petrick with another episode of the Brown Zone Coverage Podcast. It's time to talk free agency. The task of improving the roster for 2024 starts next week, and the Browns have a few obvious needs, as well as some interesting decisions on their free agents to be, including one popular quarterback. Here to discuss, as always, is Dave Chudowski of GO, the WKYC Morning News. How's it going, Chud?
It's going well, Scott. How you doing? Get some energized after that trip to Indianapolis?
Yeah, I did have a little bit of downtime. Was able to sleep a little bit, detoxed a little bit. So just have to gear up for free agency now. You never know, and we're going to get into it, but you never know how busy it's going to be. You never know when that news is going to come because it's so dependent on, does the free agent say yes, right? So all of a sudden you're sitting around waiting, waiting, and boom, there's news. And then it could keep coming, it could stop, it could wait. So you just really have to be on your toes and I guess near your phone and laptop when the free agency strikes.
Yeah. My head's been on a swivel this week with all kind of things. My latest Game Changers came out. If you go on our website, WKYC.com, or on social media, phenomenal story with a local bartender, Tony Coast, who, man, he was in bad shape, alcoholic, Scott. He found sobriety, and now he's helping others. So if you check that out.
I saw that, Chud. Yeah, that was interesting, buddy.
Yeah, it really is, man. It just makes you think for sure. And it's good to see other people helping others. And then on the other side, man, my head's bobbling around. I got a hold of one of those Kelce bobbleheads, which I'm pretty
Oh,
excited about.
nice.
Do you see those things? People are trying to sell them for hundreds of dollars
Are they really?
yeah. Someone's trying to get $500 for that bobblehead, that
That's
combo.
crazy.
So that was a wild night. Cavs are a wild team, aren't they? I mean, all these comeback wins, and then they go on the road the next night and lose, but they got these injuries. But I mean, that's been, I don't know how much you've been following the Cavs, but it'll be interesting to see how they turn out the rest of the year.
Yeah, it will be. And, this is about the time of year where I really start paying super attention to him. And I caught the end of that game. And it's weird. I forget what we were watching at my house, but it wasn't the Cavs game. And then I flipped it over, and my daughter, they're down 22. And then right when they started that run, and Wade started hitting all the shots, and my daughter's going to bed, and she stopped and wound up watching the whole game, and she's the whole end of the game, and she stood behind the couch just because it was so exciting. So, yeah, it was a good win. Those bobbleheads are crazy. I can't believe people want that much money for them. And how cool are the Kelces, right? I mean,
Oh.
this is a football podcast. We can talk about Kelces. They're just, it's just so cool watching them down there, watching them celebrate. How much fun it looks like they have all the time. I got a kick out of watching those guys.
Love how they embrace Cleveland, and they talk Cleveland up so much nationally, and the two of them together are just a riot. And they've been, I have no problem rooting for those guys. I know they're not on the Browns, but being from Cleveland and seeing their success, I'm proud of them. So definitely a lot of fun. I mean, obviously all the Taylor Swift stuff, and you think about Travis hosting Saturday Night Live, and their podcast is so successful. Not as successful as this one, of course, but I mean, looking at
Depending on what metrics you're looking at.
Yeah, right. Do we have a bobblehead? The
No, my God.
Petrak Chud
Oh my
combo
God.
bobblehead.
That'd be
Yeah,
great.
people would be trying to sell it instead of get 500. They'd be
Exactly.
like, "Hey, would you take 500 to get this out of my living room? It's
My
taking
God,
up space."
that's funny.
True story though. I got to tell you this one. Very interesting. A viewer from the west side of Cleveland emails me all the time, and he actually sent me an Austin Love bobblehead.
Oh, your
Austin,
buddy.
yeah, and the reporter on GO, who he and I go back and forth on stuff, and he has Flat Dave. If you've ever watched the show, he likes to take the cardboard cutout of Flat Dave, which was from Progressive Field during the pandemic, and this guy sent me a bobblehead. He literally went out and had a bobblehead made of Austin, so I could do stuff to the bobblehead to get revenge. And then a couple months later, he sent one of me. So very bizarre to
Just
see
some
yourself on a bobblehead.
viewer.
just some viewer.
Oh, that's cool. It's weird, but cool.
Weird, but cool. Spend his own money to make a bobblehead of Austin and then myself. So anyway, I don't know. Now I'm really getting lost here. I mean, we've totally weaved the wrong path. But, yeah. So, it'll be fun to watch the Cavs. Hopefully they can, get healthy and give us something to do before the baseball season. Oh, and then we got March Madness. I mean, this is, you know, this is a great time of the year. I mean, I know it's not football season, but this is one of the better sports times of the year.
Oh, it definitely is. And, you know, you get the Guardians ready to gear up. And then I started to pay. I don't know how you are with college basketball, Chad. I used to be huge into it. And then, you know, stuff gets in the way and the Browns and all that. But I watch all my Northwestern games, and they're having a good year. They're going to go to the tournament despite dealing with some injuries. But I've started to try to watch some other games. And it's not going to help, right? You know, you fill out brackets. You do all these, you know, I get in all these pools. And I'm sure watching 8 minutes of Connecticut last night is not going to help me fill my bracket. But I've started to do that, right? I watched some Connecticut over the weekend. Or they played Marquette last night. But over the weekend, I watched a little bit. I tried to catch some Duke. And I used to watch all the Duke games, but I haven't seen much of them this year. But I figure I should start trying to pay some attention to some of the best teams in the country. It's probably a little too little too late, but I love watching it. I can't wait to, you know, when the tournament gets going, it'll have my attention, especially you know, my Wildcats. I'll be glued to that. But since I've been a kid, I just have loved watching the tournament. You know, it used to be on cable. I used to go to my aunt and uncle's after school to watch it, because we didn't have cable or we didn't have whatever channel it would have been on, just so I could watch the tournament. I've been into it, you know, since I was a kid.
Man, I'm the same way. When I was young, I didn't want to miss a game. The pools, I would want to have the day off, especially in college, how it was great. You could go to class in the morning and then watch all day in the weekend. And then it would always butt up around St. Patty's Day. And oh man, you're right. It was so good. But you're right. As you get older and you get mature and you have jobs, things kind of change. Then you also realize no matter how much you think you know about college basketball, it doesn't matter. With the bracket, I mean, it really doesn't.
So, and that's probably more so nowadays. At least that's how I feel. With the parity, and you know, back in the day, felt like you had a chance. And maybe it's just because I don't know what I'm talking about these days. But you know, yeah, way more. It feels like there's more 8 and 10 seeds making runs and stuff like that.
Yeah, no question. I think last year was probably the least amount of college basketball. I watched a little more this year, but it's tough. Also, with my schedule, going to bed early, it makes it difficult. But it's still awesome. Still love March Madness. Like you said, opening day, the Masters is coming up, and then you can always talk football, because then at the end of April, you got the draft. So let's get into that. Hopefully everyone has stayed along with all of our other talk that we can get to. Get to what this is truly about, and that's the Browns. And I don't think we have as long to talk this week. I don't feel like last week there was a lot with the combine and Barry and Stefanski talking and just a lot of other nuggets that came out. This week, I think it's more just focusing on free agency, and maybe the top story is Joe Flacco on SiriusXM radio, right, Scott, talking about how he would like to remain with the Browns.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting timeline, Chud. I talked to his agent and after the combine, and I emailed him. He said, hey, I'm going to meet with Andrew Berry over the weekend. Let's hook up after that. So I talked to him, and he told me that that the Browns were Flacco's first choice. And we're having this conversation, and, you know, I had talked to Joe a bunch at the end of the year, so I knew that he wanted to play. And we all know Deshaun Watson is the Browns' starting quarterback. So I assumed that he would test the market and see what other opportunities were out there and then decide whether he was going to come back to Cleveland. I knew he liked it here, but I really thought that playing was priority number one, and it probably still is, and I'll get to that. But so I'm talking to his agent. He says, first choice, and like I made him repeat it twice. You're saying his first choice is to come back to Cleveland behind Deshaun Watson? Yes. What about playing elsewhere? Yeah, he'd like to do that, but he really loved Cleveland. So I wrote that Monday. What's today? Today's Thursday. So I wrote that Tuesday, I think, late Tuesday night. And then Flacco, because his agent is Joe Linto. And he let me go. He went on the record. He put his name to it. Cleveland's coming back to Cleveland's his first choice. Then Flacco went on Sirius XM radio yesterday and said how much he loved here. All things being equal, he would come here. But he kind of backtracked a little bit on what his agent said, saying he really wants to play, right? And so the point is he's deciding between his desire to come back versus a potential chance somewhere else. And maybe there's just not going to be that chance somewhere else. And maybe he realized that, and that's why the agent talked about Cleveland being his first choice, because Joe Flacco is 39, right? And as well as he played last year, and I think how he showed he can still play at a high level. And I think he'd be a really good backup quarterback for the Browns, right? If you list all the backup quarterbacks, you know, across the league, potential guys, he's at or near the top of the list in my estimation. And we can talk about other candidates. But is somebody going to hand him a starting job? I think the answer is no. I think the best he can hope for would be to compete with somebody for a team, right? For example, if the Steelers wanted him, and I'm just using the Steelers, would he go in and compete with Kenny Pickett and try to win that starting job? Would he go somewhere as a bridge quarterback to whatever team drafts J.J. McCarthy, right? Knowing that at some point the rookie's going to start, but maybe you can hold that off. Maybe you can hold it off for a whole season, right? Just depending on how you play, whatever, how the season goes. So I think those are the best situations for Joe to have any chance to play. And maybe he looks around and says, those really aren't chances for me. There's other competition in that realm. You have Gardner Minshew, who's a lot younger. He played well last year with the Colts, almost took him to the playoffs. Would a team looking for that, let's just call all these quarterbacks the bridge quarterback, right? I think a team would rather have Gardner Minshew than Joe Flacco. Would you rather have Jacoby Brissett? He's a lot younger than Joe Flacco. So maybe Flacco looks around and says, you know, there's not going to be that opportunity that he would prefer, right? The chance to compete for a job, the chance to maybe start. So with that as the backdrop, let's go back to Cleveland. So it'll be interesting. The agent told me he's going to talk to Andrew Berry again at the end of this week. You know, Flacco could sign anytime with the Browns, re-sign with the Browns, because he's their own free agent, as opposed to going to another team. That can't happen until next week. So I don't know. You know, I know Andrew Berry, the GM, talks about the market and the budget. And, you know, when you're paying so much for your starting quarterback, like Deshaun Watson, you can't overpay for your backup. But I don't think Flacco's going to price himself out of the Browns market. So it's going to be interesting to see, Chud, but I felt like Flacco coming back probably wasn't – I didn't think it was a done deal. I thought he might find a better opportunity somewhere else. And since talking to his agent and listening to Flacco on Sirius XM, I've changed my mind, and I think there's a good chance the Browns can keep him.
So bottom line is, if he knew he could start somewhere else, he would probably go there. But no if doubt. He's not going to start, if he's not going to start, then he's willing to say Cleveland's his number one choice.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, that is the bottom line. You nailed it.
Yeah.
And then I think we need to talk about this is, to me, there's two reasons the Browns would look elsewhere. And I want your opinion on this. It's you think you can find somebody better, right? Joe's 39. Threw a lot of interceptions last year, 8 in the regular season, you know, in 5 starts, and then obviously the 2 pick sixes in that playoff loss at Houston. Can you do better than Joe Flacco? And, you know, I mentioned Minshew. I mentioned Brissett. Like, I think those guys are better options than Flacco. I just don't think they would be as cheap as Flacco, and I'm not sure they would come into a situation where – you know Deshaun Watson is a starter. I feel like those two guys, Minshew and Brissett specifically, want somewhere where they have a better chance to play. And I get it that Flacco does too, but there's only so many of those type of jobs out there. And I think he'd be at least third on that pecking order. You know, so yeah, I would take Jacoby Brissett. If it was a heads up and they both came here for
really?
The same amount of money, I would take Jacoby Brissett. And I say that because he's a lot younger. I know he fits into this locker room great, and so did Flacco. But I think, yeah, I think I would prefer Jacoby Brissett because I mean, he played really well too when he was here in 2022. You know, he started those 11 games. I know what Flacco did to finish the season, and I'm not saying it's a slam dunk, but I really liked what Jacoby Brissett can do. You know, he's got a little bit more running to him, right? The running ability than Flacco does. I think it's an interesting discussion and debate, and not to, you know, and I keep bringing up 39 because it is reality, but we saw Joe at 38, right? He's still flinging it all over the place. So, and I think Joe can still throw it and all those things. But given that, I would take Brissett.
I'm going to disagree with you on this in one aspect, and that is I'm not looking at this as like a long-term thing and really caring about age. I'm looking at this as Deshaun Watson's my guy, and if he gets hurt, I need someone to step in who I care about, who can take me the furthest and the deepest run this coming season in the playoffs. And from what I saw, and I know, believe me, I think the Flacco train, I didn't think it was as I think I'm trying to figure out how to say this. I didn't jump on board so excited like most of Cleveland did because I know it wasn't going to last forever. And he threw the pick sixes. So I'm not saying that because I think it was just such an amazing run with him. But I do believe that if Watson went down this year and the Browns were in a potential playoff situation, I think I'd rather go Flacco over Minshew or Brissett.
Yeah,
I think Brissett. Go ahead.
Go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just gonna say, I mean, Brissett's a great locker room guy and someone you want on your team. And maybe I could see that being your long-term answer. Yeah. But, man, for a team that needs to win now. And Minshew, I mean, listen, he's so up and down. I'd ride the Flacco train on immediate results. If you're talking about who you want your backup to be for the next, you know, 3 or 4 years, then that's a different story.
Yeah, that's interesting. And they're all great points. And I can't even say you're wrong. Like for one game or a stretch, you know, I don't think Brissett ever played as well as Flacco did for that 4-game stretch, right? In his time in Cleveland. I think you're right about that. So it's tough. I get that argument. I can't even say you're wrong about that, Sean. I really liked Jacoby Brissett when he was here. I thought he did an unbelievable job in really trying circumstances. He didn't have, it was tough for him. And they won games. He didn't have the defense that Flacco did, right? The Browns had the number one ranked defense last year. The defense of 2022 dragged the whole team down and kept it from getting to the playoffs. So it's an interesting discussion. I can understand the Flacco argument. I think I would still take Brissett, but it's an interesting argument. And then you have the other part of it is, how would that chemistry work with Flacco behind Watson? I know I would work with Brissett. They would get along great. That wouldn't be an issue. Flacco, it just feels like this huge shadow.
So just to make it clear, if let's say Watson got hurt next year, and that's going to lead into my next point with Flacco coming back possibly. But I just want to make it clear, if let's say it's week 16 and the Browns have a must-win game to get into the playoffs and Watson goes down, you would rather go with Brissett over Flacco?
Yeah. I'm going to say yes, Chud, but I don't feel – but you got me questioning myself. And I guess I don't think it's that – I don't think there's a huge gap. But I do think that more goes into it than just if it happens in week 16, right? Like, let's say it happens in week 4. Would I rather have Jacoby Brissett starting for 14 games? I think I tilt toward Brissett that way because I think he's more sustainable. I think it's younger. You know, and I don't want to pile on Flacco's age here. We saw Flacco turn it over a bunch, which is part of who he is. And, you know, he flings it around. Joe's for a bunch of yards, a bunch of touchdowns. I think Brissett, at least when we watched him in 2022, protected the ball better than Flacco did. He didn't have the huge games that Flacco did, obviously. But I think you can win with both of them. Flacco, they're both good in the locker room. Brissett's one of the all-time good locker room guys.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot to weigh there. I would take either of them. What I would say is I think Brissett's going to go somewhere else and have a better opportunity, right? Last year he went to Washington. He thought he was going to get a chance to beat out Sam Howell. I don't know if it was ever an open competition. He didn't get the starting job. Then when he was going to start a game late in the year, because Howell was hurt, Brissett got sick and didn't get to start. So I think there will be an opportunity for him, besides knowing that you're coming to Cleveland behind Deshaun Watson, right? Like that's the thing with a guy like Brissett or a guy like Minshew is it's like going to Cincinnati behind Joe Burrow or Buffalo behind Josh Allen, right? Kansas City behind Patrick Mahomes. It's different than going to a situation that's more unsettled, right? And there's plenty of those around the league that you just don't have an entrenched starter like you do with Watson. And we can argue about if Watson deserves it and he hasn't lived up to the trade and the contract and all that. But there's no doubt the Browns will start Deshaun Watson as long as he's able to start. And I think that's a deterrent to a guy like Jacoby Brissett, where Flacco, if he finds out that he doesn't have a better opportunity, the situation in Cleveland makes it appealing to him, right? So that's why I don't think Brissett's a real viable option for the Browns. And I could be wrong. Maybe he looks around and he says, okay, Cleveland's my best option. And I don't think Minshew is. So then you're talking about guys like, I would have said Mitch Trubisky, but he's going to Buffalo, right? And obviously, I'd rather have Flacco than Mitch Trubisky. Even though, if this first tier is done, I think Trubisky would have been, he would have been part of that, one of those options of guys you could bring in, and Marcus Mariota, right? Like, I think that's the next tier of guys who have started, guys that have lost their job, excuse me, have lost their jobs. But would you trust Marcus Mariota to go win the games at the end of the year? I would say
No.
no, right? No, he's probably an above average backup quarterback if you look at the whole league. But he's not, I don't think he's Flacco. I don't think he's Brissett. I don't think he's Minshew. So it's an interesting dynamic, right? So you get the guys that want to play, and then the guys that are content being backups. There's a gap there in their performance level, in my opinion.
Yeah. Now, you make an interesting point about Brissett if it happened in week 4. I get it. And again, I definitely think that the Flacco situation, just because he had that success, doesn't guarantee that he will have success again this coming season. I'm not a fool to believe that. I'm not saying anyone is a fool if they truly believe it. It's definitely not a guarantee. There's a reason why, he did sit on the couch for a while. And obviously the story was so amazing because it was such a story. The guy comes off the couch to have that much success, but you can't throw pick sixes like that in a playoff game. So I get it. I just, for me, if it came down to it, while you go Brissett for now, I'm going to go Flacco. But again, long term, I get it. Flacco's time, there's not a lot of it left, whereas I could see Percent. But if you're just signing, what are we talking about, Scott, here anyway? What kind of deal? How long? 1 year?
Yeah, I
Multiple
mean,
years?
it's probably a year. It's probably a year with any of these guys, especially you have Dorian
Right.
Thompson-Robinson, who the Browns hope is the long-term answer at backup quarterback, right? He's
Well, there you go.
cheaper.
Yeah.
They drafted him. So, yeah, I mean, it's a year. I mean, with Brissett, maybe it's a 2-year deal. I think Flacco, you'd go year by year. And Chad, I'm not trying to diminish what Flacco did last year. And he led this team to the playoffs. It was a remarkable story. He was remarkable. And I do think he can have similar success if he was asked to play again. I don't, they might be two of the best backups out there, right, in the league, Brissett and Flacco. I have a soft spot. I like both those guys, right? I like Flacco. I like what he did on the field. I like talking to him. Same with Jacoby Brissett. I think Joe could come in and we saw him, right? We saw him get off the couch and roll and play really well. And I think he could do that if you asked him again next year. I think it's an interesting discussion, and we have this in our memory of what Flacco did at the end of last year, and it's great, and I get it, right? But I also remember that Jacoby Brissett, I thought, played really well when given what, given the circumstances, given what he was asked to do in 2022.
Yeah, sure. I got to believe Flacco's thinking too. I mean, he was comfortable here. The fans loved him. It's a perfect scenario for him if he doesn't get a starting job somewhere else. And also, I have to believe in the back of his mind, he's thinking, hey, Watson has to prove that he could go out and play 17 games because he, you know, for obviously hasn't been able to do it.
Yeah, I think that's a legit point, right? You go into the season knowing I'm not the guy, but, and it could happen anywhere, right? It could happen with Patrick Mahomes. He could get hurt, you know, week one. And, you know, I'm watching that dynasty thing about the Patriots, right? And the year after the Patriots go 17-0 and lose to the Giants in the Super Bowl, week one, Brady gets hurt, right? And he's done for the year. So it could happen to anybody. But I would say, you know, if you're evaluating your backup, if you're a backup and you're evaluating what teams give you the best chance to play, given Watson's last 2 years, and especially last year, right, with the two shoulder injuries, coming off an unusual surgery for a quarterback, right? We know how important the shoulder is. The Browns are confident Watson's going to be the player he was and be 100% healthy, but that's still a question mark, right? So if you're looking, you could say, okay, there is an opportunity there, right? There's a chance without something new happening, right? Just maybe the shoulder doesn't respond like you think so, as opposed to, hey, Patrick Mahomes never misses games, right? Or you go through the list, whoever, you know, whatever, Josh Allen doesn't miss games, right? So I do think you could say the door is cracked if you're looking at the Browns situation because of what Watson went through last year and then what he's coming off of. You know, I mean, he's only starting to throw, in the next week or two.
Yeah. Free agency starts next week, right? Is it Wednesday, Thursday?
Yeah, but before, yeah, one more on this quarterback thing, Chad. Now, I would like your opinion on this. So,
okay.
Do you think how beloved Flacco was and is by Cleveland fans, right? And even inside that locker room by teammates. Do you think it would be an issue bringing him back behind Watson, where doomsday scenario, Watson struggles early and there's a current of, or an undercurrent of, hey, put in Flacco, right? Could the crowd cheer for Flacco or chant his name or boo Watson, right? Like, you can envision the scenario, and I don't think it's that hard to envision, right? To get your mind there, where it doesn't go smoothly for Watson early. People turn on him and want Flacco, where you don't have that potential situation if it's Jacoby Brissett, right? Or if it's Marcus Mariota, nobody's chanting for Marcus Mariota, where Flacco, it's a different situation. Do you think that should factor into this? And if you do think it should factor in, is that enough to say, hey, the Browns shouldn't even take that on?
No, great question, and I do not think it should factor in. I think that you have to make this decision for what is best if something happens to Deshaun Watson and not think about the fans and if he doesn't play well. I think you have to assure Deshaun Watson that he's the guy, and you gotta ride him out until you absolutely can't anymore. And I think that – I know what you said about Brissett, but I think if things get so bad that Watson's got to worry about that, it doesn't matter who the backup is. He's going to hear that. And I think fans are already, you know, annoyed enough that they gave up all these draft picks and spent all this money on them that, you know, it's already the feeling is already out there. We haven't seen enough from him to make people feel good about the trade. So I think there could be issues regardless of who the backup is. So I'd rather ride with the guy that, you know, could possibly do what he did for you last year. And it sounds like, and the other reason why is I kind of actually believe them, Barry and Stefan. I feel like I believe everyone when they say that it won't be a problem. And I think Flacco said it wouldn't be a problem. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, I don't think you should let the fans sway your decision there. But that's just my opinion. You?
Yeah. I think those are all good points, Chud. And yeah, I mean, Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski, a bunch of players we talked to at the end of the season all said that Flacco would fit in just fine behind Watson, would not be this distraction. I tend to agree with you. I tend to agree with that. I think you go after the best player, right? Because we saw last year across the league, the backup quarterbacks were more important than ever, more played than ever, I think. So you can't just you can't not sign the best option because you're worried about how it could go bad, right? Like I think that's the wrong way to act. So I that would not detract me. I think it could be an issue. I think it could test Watson's mental strength, right? Now that's assuming stuff starts to go poorly. If he gets off to a great start, then it's not an issue, and you know it's Watson's team. And if he plays like he did in 2020 with Houston, it's never an issue, and the Browns are great, and they go to the playoffs and win games, right? So it would have to go south, but it could. But he'd have to be strong enough. He'd have to, you know, maybe he would use that as motivation, right? Or, hey, I'm never going to let this guy have a chance. I don't care what anybody says. It's my team, whatever. So it would not keep me from signing Joe Flacco. And I do think it's interesting because I think I've had this argument with other people before that I do think you have to treat quarterback differently, right? Because it's just a different position than everyone else, right? And only one plays at a time and all those things, right? You're paying the guy a ton of money. He answers all the questions from the media, all that comes with being a quarterback. But in this instance, I don't think Watson deserves to be treated differently, right? Has he earned, in his time in Cleveland, has he earned the right to say, no, don't bring in this backup quarterback because it might be a tough situation? I would say no, right? He cost himself 11 games with the suspension the 1 year, didn't stay healthy year two, and that's not his fault, right? Guys get hurt. But I just think you have to do what's best for the team, and having the best backup quarterback is what's best for the team, especially given the injury circumstances with Watson that we talked about, right? You can't afford to hurt the rest of the team, right? Which is it's a playoff roster. We know that. We saw it last year. You can't hurt those guys by trying to protect, not your quarterback's feelings, but trying to protect your quarterback. I think you got to get the best guy you can. And if that's Flacco and it leads to some potentially awkward situations, so be it.
Let's put a bow tie on the Flacco discussion then. I believe, and I don't know for sure, but because it was weeks and weeks ago, right when the season ended and we put a percentage on it. I think you put it at like 25% or 20, him being back. I don't know if you remember what you said. But just quickly, you don't have to break it down. Yeah. What would you put the percentage at?
Yeah, that's a great.
He'd be back with the Browns.
That's a great question, Chad. Give me, give me 60%.
All right. I like it. All right. 60% up from 20 or 25%,
right.
I believe.
Yeah.
So.
No, I think you're right. That's a great question.
Yeah, it is.
And my feelings have changed. Yes.
Yeah. Well, hence we just talked about it for a long, long time. Yeah, right. So yeah, it's a talk, no doubt. It's a talker. All right, so free agency is next week, right? It starts?
Yeah, so Monday we have the negotiating period opens, right? 2 days of negotiating, and then deals can be struck, can be official Wednesday at 4 o'clock. So how it happens, you know, free agent signings, once it begins, can happen until throughout the season, right? But we'll start to, I think it's noon on Monday, you'll start to hear agreements leak out. Not all of them stick, but the vast majority do. So that's when people can get excited to listening or to paying attention is Monday afternoon. You could have the Browns agree to a deal with player X for, you know, X number of dollars, X number of years. Andrew Berry's been aggressive in his four previous off seasons. I don't know if he'll be quite as aggressive this year because the roster is in a better spot than it has been. I don't know if we talked about this last week or not, but all 11 starters come back on offense. Not that you can't upgrade at receiver, but all 11 guys come back. All but four starters come back on defense. So there's not a ton of huge holes out there. But could he spend big money on a receiver? Sure. Could he spend big money on a defensive tackle? Yes. Defensive end? Yes. So I don't think you'll have the volume of big picks, you know, big name guys, big name moves that Andrew Berry will make. But I wouldn't be surprised if on the first day or two, we saw one big splash from Berry and then a series of smaller moves, right? So that's how I think it's going to go. Who knows, right? There might not be any splash, but I could see him targeting a specific guy in a specific position. Christian Wilkins, the defensive tackle for the Dolphins, comes to mind. They didn't franchise him in Miami, so he's going to hit the market unless a deal gets done, you know, with Miami in the next couple of days, which doesn't sound like it's going to happen. Now, you might have to pay $20 million, and I don't know if they want to pay a D-tackle $20 million a year after they're paying Dalvin Tomlinson, you know, $14 a year, and they just signed him a year ago. He was their number one free agent last year. But we know how important the defensive line is to Jim Schwartz in his scheme. I feel like there's an opportunity there to try to become the best defensive line in the league. You already have Defensive Player of the Year in Myles Garrett. You have Tomlinson. If you brought in another D-tackle, a big-name D-tackle like a Christian Wilkins, and then re-signs Za'Darius Smith, let's say at the other end, you got Alex Wright and Obo Okoronkwo behind those guys. Maybe you bring back or Maurice Hurst II or Shelby Harris for depth at D-tackle. All of a sudden, you got a big-time line, and you're taking this number one defense. You know, it was number one in some stats. It wasn't number one in points, right? We know how it struggled on the road. We saw what happened in the playoff game. There's a potential to take it even higher and to shore up some of the issues and to be able to pressure the quarterback all the time. And that's why I could see Andrew Berry saying, hey, I have limited resources. I'm not going to I'm not going to spend a ton of money. I'm not going to chase a bunch of guys, but I will try to get another D tackle and a DN, whether it's Za'Darius Smith coming back or someone else. Those are the two spots I could see him going after hard at the start of free agency.
So position-wise, the greatest position in need is on D-line and then wide receiver. Is that right? Or how would you kind of rank the positions for where we stand?
Yeah, without a doubt, those are the three at the top of the list, Shud. I know a lot of people focus on receiver, and I get it. They feel like they're a guy short there. A number two to slide ahead of Elijah Moore, I think would be good, right? Because then you could go Cooper, whoever they sign, or trade. You know, you could trade for two. And then Elijah Moore, and then you have Cedric Tillman four. That's a pretty solid group. Having said that, I think there's other ways you can approach receiver. You know, maybe you draft a guy. Maybe you sign a second or third tier receiver, draft a guy, and you have a bunch of bodies there. You already have your number one in Cooper. You have a Pro Bowl tight end in Njoku. I think I would target defensive line first. I'm not forgetting about receiver, but if I had to rank them, I would go defensive line first.
Well, let's look at receiver. There's quite a few out there. I think if you look at the list, though, especially with the Colts, just franchise Pittman,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Pittman, yeah. I liked him, and he looks like he's going back to Indy, yep.
Yeah, right. So you kind of look at the list of guys that are available. None of them really stand out to me as just like a true game changer, someone that I'm going to get super excited about. Yet there are some names on there that could be interesting. And we could go through the list. But is there anyone that really stands out for you? I think looking at the list, there's guys like Boyd, right?
Yeah, Cincinnati. Tyler Boyd, yep.
Osborne, Minnesota. Mooney from the Bears.
Yep, he's one.
Davis, Gabe.
Gabe Davis, Buffalo. Yep.
Brown.
Yeah, right? Hollywood. Chase Brown. Yep.
Yeah, and then is Ridley, right?
Ridley from the Jacksonville. Curtis Samuel from Washington.
Curtis Samuel.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, all those guys, they're – do any of them – what's your favorite target of those? And more so, do you think the Browns would land any of them?
Right. You know, Ridley would – of those guys you mentioned, and I think you got all the guys on the list. Ridley's the guy I'm most intrigued by, but I'm looking at, Spotrac. It's this website, and they predict contracts. And they predict him to have an annual salary of $17.5 million. I don't think the Browns would pay that. I don't think the Browns would pay that for any receiver because you're already paying $20 million to Amari Cooper. So while Ridley would be my favorite of those guys, I think he prices himself out of Cleveland's market. So then it's, I'm intrigued by Gabe Davis. I know he's streaky, and that's the thing. I talked to some Buffalo media people at the combine, and you have to be willing to live with those ups and downs, where he has a game where he goes off, and then he has a game where he doesn't do much. But he's a deep threat, and we've talked about this, Chud, and I just can't get it out of my head. When I'm looking at this receiving core, what I think it needs is a big dose of speed and a downfield threat. Elijah Moore is not that guy. He's more quick than fast. He's an underneath guy. Amari Cooper can still stretch a field, but he's not a blow by you kind of guy. He doesn't just run by you. They tried to do it with Marquise Goodwin last year. It didn't work. I like the idea of somebody that can take the top off the defense, stretch the defense. Deshaun Watson loves to throw deep, and I think you need to give him more guys that can do that. Gabe Davis can do that. Marquise Hollywood Brown can do that. So those two guys are at the top of my list, and it depends on how much they command, from a salary standpoint, what the Browns would be willing to pay. But if you could get those guys for your target price, I like the idea of both of those guys. And then Curtis Samuel, and you could throw Mooney in there, but I think I would go Davis and Brown, step down to Mooney, step down to Samuel.
DJ Chark, another one I saw.
Yeah, he hasn't, it feels like he's been a little bit of a disappointment lately. So is Marquise Brown, right? But you know that it's in him. Like, the guy runs as fast as anybody in the league. He had some success with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. Lamar was sad when he left, right? So, we're not talking a number one receiver. We're talking someone to add to the pile, probably a second, 2/3 with Elijah Moore. And I'd be looking for some specific traits, and top-end speed would be the trait I chase.
Any other positions that you would key in on that you would want to see him lock in on free agency?
Well, there's other options besides Wilkins at D tackle, Sheldon Rankins, but Wilkins is like the top of that list. But there's other guys there. I mentioned Sheldon Rankins. I think there's, I mentioned Hurst and Harris as guys you might be able to re-sign. They got to figure out linebacker, Chud, because Sione Takitaki and Anthony Walker Jr. are both scheduled to be free agents. And I think they need to bring back one of those guys. And if they don't, then they have to replace him. Because you have JOK, but then without Walker and Takitaki, you don't have a lot at linebacker. So Takitaki's younger. He's been healthier than Walker. I mean, I love Walker. He's been a captain for the last 2 years. He's beloved in that locker room. He's smart as can be. But I feel like Takitaki has a better chance to play all 17 games. He's grown where he can play middle linebacker. Takitaki can. So if you're going to bring back one of those two guys, I think the Browns would lean toward Takitaki. Having said that, I think the market could be bigger for Takitaki. So we'll see if he actually gets to free agency. Again, the Browns could re-sign him at any time. If he does get to free agency, what the market is, would the Browns match it? That'll be interesting, because if both those guys walk away, they're going to have to do something. Whether they sign a guy, sign and draft a guy, because I just don't think they have, I don't think they have the depth at that position.
So with Browns free agents, they can sign their own guys at any point.
Correct. Correct.
So just give everyone a rundown of who their
Yeah.
other possible, not possible, who are their own free agents besides Flacco.
Right. So I mentioned Hurst and Harris at D tackle. Jordan Elliott, who started a bunch of games at D tackle last year, or the last 2 years, he's a free agent. It doesn't sound like he's going to come back. So you got those three guys. I mentioned the two linebackers. Za'Darius Smith, right? We referred to him earlier. To me, he's the biggest one. And when he was traded here from Minnesota, they redid the contract so that he would become a free agent after the 2023 season, because he wanted to test the market. So I expect him to test it and then see what the market's like, and then see if he returns to the Browns. I think the Browns want to have him back. I think it comes at a price range. If you can get Za'Darius Smith back for $13 million, I think you do it. If he gets a bigger offer somewhere else, then you got to look elsewhere at defensive end. Maybe it's Jonathan Greenard from Houston. If he's in that price range, I think he'll go higher than that, and I don't think the Browns want to, you know, go 15 or 17 for a defensive end. But if Greenard, if you can get Greenard for 12 or 13, I like that idea. He had 12 and a half sacks last year. So they need to figure out an end. If they re-sign Za'Darius Smith, I think that would be a seamless move. Obviously, I thought he had a really good year. Not huge sack numbers, but I thought he was really good. I thought he was good in the run game. I thought he created pressure. You know, obviously, Myles Garrett had a defensive player of the year type of season. And part of that is the guys he had with him on the line, and one of those is Za'Darius Smith. So, to me, he's number one. Even ahead of Joe Flacco, Za'Darius Smith. We'll see if he comes back. We'll see if it takes a while. You know, maybe it takes a week or two or three. You know, Jadeveon Clowney liked to stay on that free agent market for a long time before the couple of times that he signed with the Browns. On offense, tight end Harrison Bryant's a free agent. Kareem Hunt, he said he wants to test the market. I don't expect him to come back. Backup linemen Nick Harris and Michael Dunn are free agents. Marquise Goodwin, the receiver, is a free agent. And then here's one. Corey Bohorquez is the punter. He's a free agent. And he had a good year last year. I thought he's a little inconsistent, especially toward the end. He was dealing with an injury toward the end of the season as well. You know, the Browns try to save money there and go young and, you know, maybe league minimum. Or do they pay a couple of million bucks to get a punter back and keep that core, the Dustin Hopkins, Charlie Hewlett, Corey Bohorquez? That'll be interesting to watch what they do there.
So you think they'll be involved, but it won't be super high active. Is that a way to sum it up?
Yeah, I think that's right, Chud. And I think that comes – because I asked Andrew Berry about this at the Combine last week. And he said it's not because they went to the playoffs last year. It's because he thinks the roster's in a good spot. And I tend to agree with him. There aren't screaming needs. Now, we mentioned the biggest of those needs, and I think he'll be aggressive because that's just how Andrew Berry is. Whether it's a trade, free agency, he's aggressive. So I don't think he's going to let – you know, I don't think he's going to let 2 weeks go without signing anybody. I don't think that's how he's going to operate. You know, he talks about the money burning a hole in his pocket. I think he strikes, but you don't have to sign eight guys, right? I think you sign a couple defensive linemen. Maybe you get a receiver early. We talked about figuring out linebacker. So they probably sign two or three guys from other teams, re-sign a couple guys of their own. And then after that, it's filling in here or there, right? So I don't think we're going to have constant news, but I think there will be enough big news where people can get excited about, okay, and you can start talking about, hey, maybe this defensive line can be considered the best in the league, right? Like, if they make a couple of specific moves along that line, then I think that's where the conversation could turn.
All right. Well, that's it for me, unless you have anything else.
No, we went longer than I thought, but I, you know, that flack. And once you start talking quarterback, Chud, then you know, it takes. I got a lot of stuff to say. I was going to drop a swear word there. I got a lot of stuff to say about quarterbacks.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, it's always the most polarizing conversation in town. You know, we always talk about the most famous athlete in Cleveland, and we talk about LeBron James, and we talk about this or that, but let's be honest, and we've said it before, the quarterback that eventually takes the Browns to the Super Bowl will probably instantly become the most popular athlete in Cleveland history. So it's there's no question why we talk about it so much. And you know, there's not many of those positions in the NFL. And let's be honest, you know, I heard someone say this the other day, and I can't remember where it was. You know, there's only, I don't want to say handful, but I mean, how many NFL quarterbacks would you say there are that are elite, like the best at their position? You know, I mean, when you watch Patrick Mahomes and you watch the great ones do it, you know, there's not that many. So then when you go into backups and each team has to have a backup, you know, you really think about that. I mean, just think about how many jobs there are in the world and in the country. You know, how many amazing doctors there are. And I'm not trying to compare quarterbacks to doctors, but I hope my point gets across. Yeah. You know, every hospital, every state, every, you know, there's amazing doctors and amazing pilots and amazing just different jobs. But I mean, hey, there's quarterbacks everywhere, but there's not elite ones.
Oh, my God. No, that's why That's why coaches and GM get fired every year. It's because they can't find that quarterback, right? They're looking for the 4, 6, 8, 10 guys in the world that can do that position at an incredibly high level. And 10's too many, right? There aren't 10 of them. So to do it consistently in a Super Bowl level year in, year out, right? There's Patrick Mahomes, there's Joe Burrow, there's Josh Allen, there was Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, there's just not a lot of those guys. I'm sure I'm leaving somebody off this list, but you're right. And then you got the other dynamic of the backup quarterback's always popular when you don't have that elite quarterback, right? The backup quarterback is not popular in Kansas City, but he's popular in Denver, right? He's serious like he's popular in Pittsburgh, right? What they had going on last year. So that adds to this whole discussion as well.
Yeah, no question. All right, well, I'm sure we'll talk later next week.
Yeah, we'll hook up at the end of next week and see if I'm right, see if they are active, if they're not active, see what they did to the roster, see if Joe Flacco's a Brown next week. We might not have that answer. That might drag on, but we could have resolution on that. So we'll hook up again next week. Chud, as always, I appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for listening, everyone. This has been another episode of the Zone Coverage Podcast, and you can read all my work at brownszone.com. Thanks.